what we're looking for are forests that have some component of older forest. Really what's exciting our team is not just finding that older forest, but also finding the opportunities within that to apply adaptive climate smart management techniques to restore old forest characteristics on the landscape over time.
I understand that a lot of these forests remain in relatively intact because they're in kind of harder to access places that I guess are harder to log. Is that correct?
Yeah, a lot of the times the remnants of these forests that are very old are often in inaccessible places, or they are in areas that are regulated so they can't be harvested, like watercourse buffers or steep slopes or things like that.
If they weren't purchased by a group like Community Forest International, what might happen to them?
Sure. Oftentimes they are purchased by either a contractor or a larger entity that is primarily driven to harvest them. And that may have negative impacts on the surrounding community forest and co-benefits as well, biodiversity and things like that.
You've used this term co-benefits. Could you say more about what that means?
Co-benefits are just anything beyond timber values that we think about when we think about the forest. So things like carbon sequestration, which is one that's high on our list right now because we consider the Wabanaki Forest as being a powerhouse for sequestering carbon in its natural diverse state. So when you've got this great mix of hardwoods and softwoods and different age class structure, that creates a very stable environment for sequestering carbon. So that's one of the things that are very high on our list, is that climate benefit. Or flood mitigation risk, which we've done some work on as well in the past. Or wildlife and community benefits around not just extractive practices, but spiritual values, or through recreational values and things like that, that all become co-benefits.
The idea of these kinds of endangered forests that we're talking about, the Acadian Wabanaki forests that are still intact, is a forest that's in its pre-colonial state. Is that correct?
Pre-colonial, yes, but we have to be careful about looking at what a pre-colonial Acadian forest was versus what is likely to take place with climate change and in a warming climate. So we have to be realistic about those expectations and what that might look like. It may never look like exactly what it looked like pre-colonial forest, but it may look like something that's much more diverse and resilient to climate change and what we have today.
And so the contrast here is against the sort of plantation style forests that would be typically one species of tree and at roughly the same age. Is that right?
Yeah, the common contrast is through even age industrial style forestry, which is limited in its species diversity and limited in its objective because it's primarily focused on timber value.
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to an interview with Craig Tupper. He's the Forest Program Manager at Community Forests International, or CFI. I asked Tupper what forest restoration involves.
We look at the forest for what it is today, you know, the condition that it's in, whether it's degraded through past practices or invasive pests or things like that. And we come up with a plan that will restore some of the diversity to that. And it may be incremental over time, whether it's been a recently clear-cut property that we've acquired, then we'll look at planting climate-adaptive species on it. And we've developed a toolkit or a decision tree at Community Forests International that that helps prescribe appropriate management strategies for forests that have been impacted like that. There's also lots of new research coming out over the last 10 years on how the Acadian forest and individual species are going to respond to climate change and We look to a lot of that research to say, okay, what is going to thrive on this site, and how can we create more diversity, both in age class structure or the ages in the forest, in things like species diversity and things like that, and structural diversity to make it more resilient to climate change in the future.
It's interesting that, you know, we recently heard about research showing that forest management practices in the maritime provinces have degraded the habitat of forest birds, causing their populations to decline. And so this word degraded comes up. What does that mean? What does it mean for a forest to be degraded as opposed to an area being deforested?
Right. And that's a great one. Matt Betts recently did a research paper on that talks about the differences between forest loss and forest degradation. And forest degradation is just the simplification of a forest. So loss in species diversity, loss in structural diversity, loss of coarse woody debris and deadwood, which is all important for wildlife. And all of that sort of loss can affect the value of the forest and the co-benefits of the forest over time. So things like its water holding capacity and things like, as you've said, bird habitat and things like that.
As mentioned, CFI has launched this campaign to raise $250,000 before the end of July to purchase some of these remaining woodlands. How can people support the Forgotten Forest campaign?
People can support it by popping onto our website and becoming either a monthly or one-time donor. But we're also still searching for remnants of that forest. So if a forest owner wishes to get in touch with us because they think they have something special that they would like to see cared for in perpetuity, then they can contact us and we'll come out and evaluate what's there and decide on the best course of action for them.